Welcome to Geographical Imaginations, brief expeditions into the geographies of everything and nothing. Coming to you from the community radio station Radio Fabrique in Salzburg, Austria, I'm your host, Kevin S. Fox. In tonight's episode, our 14th, we get back out into the landscape, the cultural landscape here in the Salzburg region, and look at the tradition of the Krampus, paired with St. Nicholas as a duality of good and evil. The Krampus is alive and well here in Central Europe, in the Alpine region, extending down into northern Italy, as far west as Switzerland, up in through southern Germany, especially Bavaria, and throughout Austria. The Krampus makes his way into more popular culture or popular depictions through two Hollywood films this December. And we want to talk a little bit about not only the tradition of Krampus here in its cultural hearth, so to speak, as a folk custom here in these German-speaking areas, but also how that then gets translated in for the wider audience, especially through a Hollywood film. So we're looking at a little bit here, folk culture and pop culture. We're looking at the history of the Krampus here and looking at Krampus goes to Hollywood. So stay tuned. In December 2014, the American television audience was introduced to the Krampus by Austrian actor Christoph Waltz, who, an Academy Award winner himself twice for Best Supporting Actor, was describing to Jimmy Fallon on The Tonight Show some of the unique characteristics of winter customs in Austria, especially surrounding Christmas time. And Waltz continued to describe the tradition of the Krampus paired with St. Nicholas on the 5th and 6th of December, the 6th being the day of St. Nicholas, which is widely celebrated here in Central Europe, very much part, I think, of Bavarian culture as well as here in Austria. But the Krampus figure is matched with St. Nicholas as a as the other side of the coin, so to speak, the other side of the duality of good and evil, St. Nicholas being good and the Krampus being the darker character, the dark side of things. While this might not have been the first time the American audience has heard of characters like this, certainly not, but the Krampus himself has appeared in American pop culture, appearing once on the American Dad television series. But this year is going to the American audience in terms of these pop cultural, the pop cultural world of film and television. The American audience will be introduced to the Krampus, I think, in a bigger way. Two films this year are being released, one next week in the first week of December, right around, in fact, the date of the St. Nicholas celebration, which we'll discuss in tonight's episode, and another just in time for the holiday season, where a lot of Americans flood into, during their vacation time, flood into theaters. One film is called The Krampus. The other is called A Christmas Horror Story and maybe subtitles itself as Santa Claus versus Krampus. And both probably are tapping into other narratives as films tend to do, perhaps about the, I think the Krampus film, the first one, really looks at sort of family dysfunction at the holiday time, and that the Krampus himself as this figure who's called upon in St. Nicholas celebrations to be the one in some ways to create fear around stepping out of line, or to create fear around not being good. So St. Nicholas is the one traditionally who rewards the child for being good, puts coins, whether those are coins or real coins or chocolate coins, in the shoes of the good children. Here in Austria, the tradition is a little bit different, and we speak tonight we speak tonight with a number of different people involved in the tradition of the Krampus in St. Nicholas. And our main conversation is with Christoph Schweiger, who himself participates in St. Nicholas celebrations as St. Nicholas, and is accompanied by a number of different Krampuses. And so without, I think, getting further into any discussion, let's speak with Christoph about the tradition of Krampus and how it's been connected to St. Nicholas. So we're here in Studio B. I'm with Christoph Schweiger, part of the
Retzeneck-Pass.
Retzeneck-Pass.
Retzeneck-Pass, yes.
Yeah. And you're based where?
We are based in Goldegg.
Okay.
And the members come from Goldegg, St. Johann, Schwarzach, and St. Veit in Bongau.
And so it's between here and the tallest Alps, I guess we can say. You're south of here, really into, these are mountain towns, mountain villages, right?
Yeah, we are located on about 700 meters above the sea.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, in the middle of the mountains of the Hohe Tauern, yes.
Yeah. And so we wanted to talk about the tradition of the Krampus, and also the runs. We're arriving now at that time of the year where this tradition gets linked with St. Nicholas Day, which is on the 6th of December, and celebrated a lot of times on the 5th, the night before, the eve of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a little background of the Krampus. First off, I guess, why connected with St. Nicholas?
St. Nicholas, important person in the Catholic Church and in the Christian way, made a lot of interesting things in former times in Mira, and was a legend in the Bible, and went around and shared his things with those who hadn't a lot of, with the children, and in Austria and in the Middle European, the Nicholas.
So like Bavaria, Switzerland as well.
As well, kind of Hungary, also Czech Republic, Slovakia,
okay.
Italy.
All right.
Yeah.
Northern Italy,
yeah. Only South Tyrol.
Yeah.
Yeah. The St. Nicholas was a very important person in the 12th, 13th, 14th century.
Uh-huh.
And the St. Nicholas get during the Inquisition, uh-huh. I don't know,
Inquisition,
get down. It was no tradition for St. Nicholas in the Inquisition because they don't like it, or they didn't like it, that there are other holy persons beside of Jesus and the Christmas Eve. So the tradition of the St. Nicholas moved to the Eve of Christmas. And this Christmas Eve tradition of the St. Nicholas moved and years later than to America or in other countries. But in Austria, it went back to the 6th of December,
uh-huh.
After the Inquisition times,
right.
And with the Reformation times. Not with the anti-Reformation times.
Uh-huh.
In the Reformation times, the holy persons weren't interesting, but but after that. And the St. Nicholas went away, but in the anti-Reformation time, they had a problem. Only the good one around isn't that interesting, and there are Wellies or where Wellies they are still. But but this tradition isn't in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
The Nicholas went from house to house, and looked if there is someone Protestant in the house. And if there is someone Protestant in the house, then Nicholas said, have you been nice this year? Yeah. And now please do something, a prayer for me, please. And when the children or the family or in the house wasn't able to pray, he said, okay, Krampus, take these children, this family away, because they are Protestants, they are not Catholic. Oh, very bad, very, very bad tradition. But this tradition wasn't later years after that bad, but the tradition is, the sharing tradition is still here.
Yeah.
And the Krampus don't play a really nice role in this history.
You are listening to Geographical Imaginations, brief expeditions into the geographies of everything and nothing. Geographical Imaginations is an hour-long radio essay program broadcast monthly from Radio Fabrique in Salzburg, Austria. This public geography project presents a geographical or spatial way of thinking about our relationships with the worlds we inhabit and co-create. Each episode takes a theme, or perhaps a question, and explores it through an interactive dialogue with different texts and voices. For more information about the show, check out the website at www.geographicalimaginations.org. Now let's get back to our episode. And then the Krampus itself, I mean, it's half man, half goat, essentially, right? Or...
Not goat. Okay, the goat and the animal tradition isn't the Krampus. Okay. It's called Berchten, and it comes from a Roman tradition to make masks and to go around. And the Roman tradition went further on to the Celtic traditions, and from the Celtic and heidnish traditions, there come the Berchta or Berchten going, and there is then a beautiful Bercht, and ugly and bad Bercht. Uh-huh. And
are these spirits or are these living creatures, the Bercht?
Living.
Okay.
They're living. They're fairy tales about.
Yeah.
And good and bad. And the mask don't have, they aren't situated with the St. Nicholas and aren't situated in the beginning of December. They are situated on New Year's Eve about.
Okay.
Around this, between Christmas and the 6th about of January.
Yeah.
They are going there to bring the fertilities to the wives and to the women and bring the spring.
Yeah.
Winter go off, long days come, fertility and not only of the women, also with fertility of the floor should come, and everything should grow and bring something to eat and drink and so on.
So it sounds more like a nature based
belief
and more feminine. Yeah. Essentially, this is the
comes from the Celtic,
and then
after the Christianization, and the Christians took these traditions, and made it till today.
Yeah. So in today's, let me ask this: I guess, when does Nicholas and the Krampus character or figure, when do they come together on this? Like, in what, are we talking 200 years ago, or are we talking...
During the Inquisition.
Oh, so this is when those two characters come together.
Yeah. The Krampus came in this time, not as a goat, not as the animal thing, as the Berchter.
Yeah.
As an picture of the evil.
Okay.
The good and the bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the good one is the St. Nicholas, and the bad one is the... Is the fairy tale of the Grimms, or in Romanic times we had a Jesus who stands on the cross, and in the Gothic times we had a Jesus who was hanging on the cross. It's a history of art, I think, also the Krampus and the Saint Nicholas, because during the Inquisition, the Saint Nicholas was forbidden, and also all other things, and in some valleys and. There was no internet during the Inquisition, and some valleys and hidden villages. The tradition of the Saint Nicholas was also here, and also came another person. And this another person was this Krampus.
Okay. Did they call him Krampus then, or?
A Krampal. I think it was the Krampal. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
They called it Krampal.
Yeah. And what would be the tradition? St. Nicholas is knocking on doors to see if everyone's being good, right? Essentially. Yeah. And so would a local villager dress up as St. Nicholas? Or?
Yeah. Someone says to bring fear to the children.
Yeah.
To be brave the year after this visit.
Right.
Not to make anything. It's the tradition after the Anti-Reformation.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I think it should show you not only the good part of you, also the bad part. And so with the Krampus and the St. Nicholas, those both parts in you are on the table and you can choose for a while which part will take part of you, or I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think in this direction it will go also today. And after the Reformation in the Aufklärung, I don't know, explanation during all the pupils go to school and so on. Uh-huh. The Krampus wasn't allowed in Austria. Only the Saint Nicholas. There was some years Krampus wasn't allowed because those uncivilized, violent parts of the world doesn't or should not exist. But it came slowly.
The existence of the Krampus in the public eye. Mm-hmm. It could almost be an indication of the change of the times in Austria. So the times when the Krampus was said, "Nope, we completely want the Krampus away."
Yeah.
It said something about society at that time.
I think so.
Yeah, and everyone, the relationship with that darker side, right?
Yeah, everyone has his own opinion in this direction, but what should say it to us? Yes,
right, because
it's a little bit an indicator for a society, yeah?
Yeah, because in some of my reading, I was finding that, post-Austrian Civil War, getting into World War II era, definitely a different sort of conservatism in this region in general, that the Krampus was basically banned for quite a while. So the mid-20th century, there were no Krampus runs, no. When does it come back? Like, when are we talking just the last 25 years it's really become popular again? And or was it the 1970s, or when was this? Like,
I remember 81, there was just a hand of Krampus passes in the area. Just a hand of 5-6 passes in the whole region, except on the valleys. In the valleys, they have the tradition
all the time. So it's never gone away in the valleys.
Never gone away, but they in the valleys, for example, Rauris or Kastanienthal, they don't have a Krampus tradition directly, because this is a mix of Krampus and Berchten. They have a mix of Krampus and Berchten. Krampus is a Habsburger thing, I think. Uh-huh. With the evil, and the Bercht is an animal thing with not bells like from a cow.
Yeah,
they have shell, and I don't know in English those one.
Right.
Yeah, and this is a tradition of the Bercht, and they mixed it up in the valleys, so it wasn't important to say stop to the Krampus, because they weren't the Krampus. It was a Berchten mix.
Okay.
Okay,
yeah.
It brings the fertility and not the evil, and the fertility isn't bad for the
for agricultural communities.
Yeah.
Right, it's very much a part of their folk customs and traditions. Yeah,
and the Krampus tradition really popular. Get it in the 80s, 90s, And the big famous thing that a lot of boys are running with the Krampus masks and there's costumes and suits. I think the last 10 years.
Last 10 years,
yes. It's getting really popular and famous, and that big amount of Krampus they are on the street.
Yeah. What's the age group of the boys or the young men or that are into it? Is it younger guys or is it
in my
all ages?
My youngest is 4. He has a mask.
He does.
Yeah. He is afraid of his mask, but he runs with his mask. Yeah. Nowadays they grow up with this tradition. They look to the mask and wow. Short for some seconds they are angry, and in the second view on the mask they say, oh, fine, nice mate, this wood.
Yeah.
But it is a Krampus when the Krampus stand up in front of the children with the mask on it. Oh, it's Krampus, and they are afraid of it. But when the mask lies on the floor, they know this.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. But in former times it wasn't that famous, so less children had the entrance to this carvers and so on.
Right. So it's at least a generation now of really coming back into, I don't want to say style, but you're seeing it. It's much more popular. And so now children are growing into it again.
It's a popular tradition.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. In the moment, it's popular. It's not only tradition. I think it's called in Austria Brauchtum. Brauchtum, you know, it's custom.
Yeah.
And Brauchtum, it is Brauch, and Brauch means you need it. Needtum.
Huh.
And when you need something,
yeah,
you do it for sure.
Right.
I need it. It's a Brauchtum.
You're listening to Geographical Imaginations, brief expeditions into the geographies of everything and nothing. To find out more about the show, check us out online at www.geographicalimaginations.org. To give some feedback or suggestion for a future episode, go to the comments section on the website, or go to the blog and enter into the conversation. So basically the organization here is you are part of a group or a pos, it's called, right? Mm-hmm. And as part of that pos, who are the different people involved, and what do they dress up as?
Involved first are the Krampuses.
Yeah.
And
In your case,
we are the Redneck pos. We are existing since I don't know, for 25, 26 years about.
Yeah.
At the moment, very old man in the Krampus way, 30 years about.
Yeah.
We are, and the Krampuses, we have 23 Krampuses.
Okay.
In our past, we have two angels, two girls, uh-huh, who went as an angel, as a Saint Nicholas we have, and one man who is an old man who carries a basket or a basket for the presents for the children. Okay. This is one pass usually.
Yeah. So those are the normal sort of characters, so to speak.
Yeah.
And you are?
I am Saint Nicholas.
Is that because you're the good one, or?
I'm always the good one, for sure.
And so you wear a typical sort of bishop's outfit with a tall bishop's hat, and you have the staff.
Of a bishop also.
Of a bishop as well. A crook, I believe we call it. And then the Krampuses, mm-hmm, they what do they wear?
They wear a fur.
So it's a full fur suit, right?
It's a full fur suit, yes. Yeah. Made by a Gerberei of a fur making,
uh-huh,
company, yeah, in our region, in Sankt Hanimbonga.
So they get a fur. Which is probably from which animal?
From a goat.
From goats.
Yeah.
And those goats are probably local too?
I hope
not
so.
Not always. But
not always, but most.
Or from the region at
least. Yeah.
And then somebody gets those skins and then sews them together to make a full suit.
A full suit or a two-part suit.
Or a two-part suit.
Okay. But the whole body
will cover the whole
is
body
covered,
in
yes.
fur.
Yeah.
And then they wear shoes.
Yeah. Usually hiking shoes.
Okay.
What do you mean? Yeah. Those shoes you need in autumn and summer to go on the mountains. In winter you use for going Krampus.
Okay.
And two or three years ago, when we were a little bit younger, or 10 years ago, yeah. we made the shoes higher.
Right.
Yeah.
So like a higher heel.
Higher heel, yeah. 10, 15 centimeters
oh,
higher.
Really? Yeah.
Because it's more interesting when the Krampus is a big one.
Sure. Yeah. And intimidating.
Yeah. Today, we don't do this because it's dangerous for the ankles.
Oh, right. You twist your ankle, break your ankle.
Yeah.
And then the mask is a kind of a special piece, right? Because it's, and I've held one in my hand. They're heavy. I mean, it's a heavy wooden mask, right?
Well, the older ones, yeah. 20 years ago, or 15 years ago, it were masks which were very heavy.
Yeah.
And at the moment, not. At the moment, they are from the real good carvers. You have a mask with the wooden. They are thick, centimeter, 1.5 centimeter.
Oh,
it's
okay.
really not. It isn't heavy.
Oh, so it's
the most heaviest thing on the whole mask are the horns.
Right.
Yeah, the horns are really, really, really heavy.
So the mask, the mask is a hand carved wooden mask.
Yeah.
With then has connected to it natural horns, right? From a ram, a male. Goat or,
A male goat on up on the mountain. It's a Steinbock.
Uh-huh.
The Steinbock, yeah.
Yeah.
We have Steinbock horns. Or every pass has different horns, which fits perfect to their mask. And every pass, every group of Krampus has its own philosophy, which is the best and the most beautiful and the most angry making and fear making mask And it depends on the carvers we have in the region. We have 5-6 carvers which who make their job very good.
Okay.
Yeah. There are it's a lot of the discussion also in Salzburg. What is really tradition and what is future horror masking and so on? We have also this tradition between the Krampus.
Yeah.
And the tradition depends on if you like the traditional Berchten thing or you like more the future thing and or the between thing.
Right.
And there is a tradition to the Krampus, and the tradition should have two horns, should have a long red tongue, and should look like the typical evil picture you have in your head. We had it's a Habsburger thing, and there are baskets, small baskets.
Yeah,
what the Saint Nicholas brings to the children.
Right,
it is in Austria in every supermarket you will get those of paper made baskets to put in the mandarin and the nuts and so on and the sweeties. And on the outside there is a Krampus. Who carries small children, and this should be the original Krampus in the Habsburger tradition, the typical evil.
But it's
a wooden mask, and the wooden mask is made of stone pine, because it's a very soft wood.
It's a softer, easier to carve.
Yeah, easy to carve.
Yeah, and lighter. Right, pines are generally lighter.
Yeah,
the masks today.
Mm-hmm.
Are they mostly made in the same region that the traditional region of the Krampus? So the traditional region of the Krampus is essentially Switzerland, northern Italy, here in Austria, Bavaria, not all of Germany, right? Just sort of Bavaria.
Sort of Bavaria, yes.
Yeah. How far east does it go? We're talking about, like, the modern celebration of Krampus right now is that.
Yeah, I heard of Krampus in Hungary.
Yeah.
But it exists a lot of traditions to make masks and so on from the Romanian times on, and also I know also carnival festivities in America.
Sure.
Halloween, or also in Bulgaria and so on.
Yeah. But
the Krampus only to Hungary, I've heard it.
Yeah. And are all the masks being made here? Or do you are masks being made in different countries and they're sending them here?
No.
Everyone thinks like...
Masks are made
China
there where... No.
No.
No. So the industrial way of mask making doesn't exist. No,
it doesn't exist.
No.
So it's still very much a traditional way of...
Yeah.
It's a traditional way. Custom that's being... The costume and the mask is being made in traditional ways still. Yeah.
And the horns aren't always natural.
Okay, right.
Because we have also in our region not that many male goats
right.
which we have to. No, for sure, it's a thing. You can't kill a lot of animals because of this tradition. Then the tradition or a Brauchtum isn't a Brauchtum. Then
right.
you don't need to kill some right. animals for that.
And the longer they live, the longer horns they have,
yeah.
and those are more prized, right?
Wouldn't function. We have a gießerei to fill in a kind of plastics
yeah.
in a form to imitate this. We have it in the region.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so someone in the region is doing that.
Doing that,
this.
Yeah. He's also doing the eyes. It make not eyes of glass. It's also eyes of plastics thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Look really... naturally.
Right.
Yeah. Huh. And those eyes are put it in the wooden mask then.
Right. So we have then over 20 people
yeah.
as Krampuse, St. Nicholas, and you're together. Now there's something called a Krampuslauf or
yeah.
run.
Yeah.
As we'd say in English. So one of these runs, paint the picture for us. Like, what does that look like? You're in your village, let's say. Let's sit back at your village. Like,
yeah.
you start at one point and start walking down the street, or what happens?
A Krampus run or Krampus lauf.
Yeah.
It is a... Depends on the area.
Okay,
in my hometown, in my home village in St. Veit at the moment, we have no Krampus run, but the biggest in our area is 10 kilometers away from my hometown, and we go there always.
Okay.
It's St. Johann in Bongau, and we come there with my group.
Yeah.
We are driving there on the tractor, on the truck, or
uh-huh.
sometimes... where the Krampus have place to go around.
Yeah.
And then we are standing there and waiting. And then there's a crowd along the street on the left, on the right-hand side.
Yeah.
There is music. There is someone who moderate this thing.
Uh-huh.
And then the first bus go into the street.
Right.
Between the Krampus and the... And the public,
uh-huh.
there are security gates.
Yeah,
because Krampus is angry for sure.
Yeah,
Krampus in our tradition in Salzburg hits the public
uh-huh.
on their feet with a kind of rute. It's some pieces of the birch tree. From a birch tree.
Yeah.
The fine wood on the outside of the birch tree.
Yeah.
With this, the public will be hit.
Yeah.
Through the gates. And then the moderator says, next bus we see with the wonderful mask from the Carver Saddle Sepp is the Red Snake bus. Welcome them. And the St. Nicholas is also with them and puts the sweets out to the children. It's,
right.
it's a big thing. 10,000 persons. Are yeah. looking to all those buses, and there come 800, 900 Krampus on the biggest run there in St. Johann in
yeah.
Bongau. Yeah.
So each group will go then through, each pass will
yeah.
go through, have its own chance to kind of...
To show all the public the beautiful masks of this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of this year. So do you do a new mask every year? A lot of people do.
A lot of people do, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Do you keep your old masks then? Or?
No.
No. Sell them secondhand?
Secondhand.
Yeah.
Mostly secondhand. You put it on the internet, and so we have the mask from this year and this year, and we make a new one. And every bus tries to have the same the same color on the skin on the mask.
Yeah. So in that way, it's similar in some ways to traditional clothing, is that there are similar colors to certain villages or certain valleys, right? So here, I'm maybe trying really hard to make a similarity here, but like one pass will have a theme. They'll have colors that they like.
It's nowadays modern.
Yeah.
20 years before, it wasn't interesting. Huh. There were participating 10 Krampusse or 15 Krampusse when it was a big one.
Yeah.
And everyone has its...
His own style.
And there was no similar thing. Like the tradition, you said, that the Tracht or so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nowadays, it's so cool when you look similar, when you come as a group and everyone sees this, you are a group.
It's cool.
It's a unity thing, yes.
Yeah. And so the Krampusse will be whipping people around their feet.
Yeah.
And St. Nicholas is sort of walking down.
Yeah. Makes nice children guy. Happy and yeah. he's the nice guy, yeah.
Right. Does he get in between some of the Krampusse and the children to make peace? To make the children feel a little safer sometimes?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he tries to.
Yeah.
And St. Nicholas has always the exercise to show the public that he is the boss of the bus. And when St. Nicholas says stop, the Krampus have to stop.
All right.
Yeah. So there's a security part for the public. Okay, no, the good one will win. The good one is the chief master.
Right. You are listening to Geographical Imaginations, brief expeditions into the geographies of everything and nothing. For more information about the show, check us out online at www.geographicalimaginations.org. Now let's get back to our episode. You mentioned, and this is a big part of the tradition too, which goes back to the older times, like you were mentioning before, are these house visits. And so part of what you do is not just the runs, but it's actually, you go literally knock on a door, right? So you've been invited, maybe, or not. And what happens when that door opens?
It's very interesting for me as a Nicholas, of St. Nicholas, because I come to the house, I'm invited with my bus.
Yeah.
Different traditions in Austria. We have the St. Nicholas from the church, and there's the St. Nicholas who comes with a bus. And some farms and some private persons like to have a Krampus bus because they say it's also our tradition.
Yeah.
And someone says, no, Krampus, no, I don't like it. It's also okay. Come only St. Nicholas with the angels or without angels.
Yeah.
But I come with St. Nicholas and my Krampuses. But the Krampus is mostly outside because with the big horns, they...
Oh, it's hard to get in the door.
they didn't come into the kitchen or where the children are.
Yeah.
And when I enter the rooms... Mostly the children play something on their instruments, sing something, a song for St. Nicholas.
Oh, really?
Yeah, or make a small story are playing for me, and not for me, for St. Nicholas.
Right.
And before I got into the room where the children are, I got from mom and dad a list of good and bad things, and and then I'm sitting at the children's table and talked with them about those good and bad things. But a lot of Nicholas only read it.
Yeah.
Some Nicholas don't use any lists because good and bad things aren't that popular for some St. Nicholas. For me, it's okay to talk with them about those things which are written in my holy book.
Right, right. I've seen pictures of this, old drawings of the children hiding behind the table. Mm-hmm. And that's become kind of, and I've seen videos too online, that's become a tradition, or I shouldn't say become a tradition, but it's become something that some passes are doing, and it's reenacting the table scene outdoors, like out somewhere,
yeah,
where children are on one side of the table, and then the Krampus and Krampuse come, and it's a real struggle, actually. Mm-hmm. It's very physical. Have you seen that before?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not in our region, in Salzburg. It's only on East Tyrol.
All right.
It's called the Tischelreißen or Tischelrucken.
Yeah.
And there are not children behind the table
these
there.
These are the guys.
Yeah, these are the guys, the most strongest and the toughest guys in the city or in the village.
Yeah.
Who sit behind the table, and then the Krampus come, and try to put away this table.
Yeah.
And this is Tischelreißen, Tischelziehen, is the typical tradition from Eastern Tyrol.
Yeah, so
it's like south of Salzburg.
Yeah, like Lienz area?
Lienz, Matrei, this region, yes.
Yeah.
Also have a Krampus, but they in Eastern Tyrol, they don't hit with the Rute. They don't have this whipping. And also in Carinthia, they don't have, only in Salzburg, the whipping is a tradition.
Oh, really?
Yeah. In the other, in South Tyrol and Italy, northern Italy, yeah, they have the tradition to make a throw over the Krampus shoulders, like in judo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Krampuswurf, it's a tradition over there in South Tyrol.
Huh.
And in the Carinthia, we have only the Krampus tradition to make shows, to show everything with Bengalish fire and to make fire shows and those things. It's in Carinthia. And so the Krampus has also different types of traditions in Austria.
There's different variations, yeah. Depending, you go 100 kilometers and it could be very different.
Completely different.
Yeah.
You don't have to go 100 kilometers. Only 5 kilometers into a valley.
Yeah.
You have a different culture about the Krampus. We have 4 Teufi in Rauris. We have 2 Krampus passes meet each other to say hello and fighting against and then say, oh, good day, goodbye. And the passes fight against each other. Yeah. And then in Kasteinertal, this is a tradition, the Krampus meeting.
Oh, really? Yeah.
So we have a lot of traditions. And
Well, thank you so much for sharing all your insights, really, because you're so much a part of being part of a pass and dressing as Saint Nicholas. Thanks to Christoph for sharing your thoughts with us here on Geographical Imaginations.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah. So the Krampus, the geographies of the Krampus really bring us into the intimate spaces of the home through the Krampus house visits paired with St. Nicholas going in to, I think, scare the children into maybe another year of good behavior. The Krampus arrives with St. Nicholas and with bag or sack in hand, the Krampus, it's known, has taken small children away, stuffed them in that sack and taken them away. That's enough, even the story itself, enough to scare a lot of children into, behaving well for at least another few days or months, weeks or months. We also get to see this space of the Krampus in very much in a public environment, in the public space, in the public eye, roaming through the streets, whether in the previous tradition of very much Krampus runs being a little bit more, or I should say a lot less regulated as they are today, with fences protecting both sides, the Krampus themselves and the spectators, or really instigators, as we've been told, instigators of some of the violence upon Krampus and themselves. So the public space now very much more regulated because of this tradition, but not wanting to get rid of the tradition itself, but just to do it in a different fashion. Individuals being registered in whole groups, Krampus passes being registered with official, with the city or the town or the village in which they are going through, very much a different story than, say, in the 1980s and 90s from what we've gathered in our field work here. The Krampus, you know, also really fits into the folk culture and pop culture, which we discuss a lot in geography classes. Intro to Human Geography, we'll really get into this, that here's this folk tradition, which it's important to recognize how distinct it is, even from valley to valley. Christoph saying you don't even have to go that many kilometers to really encounter a different tradition. It's not completely different, but the way the cultural practices here, the practice of that tradition is a little bit distinct. Even just crossing the higher mountains into East Tyrol, you would find this other tradition that we mentioned with the table, the house scene in a very public space where it becomes a little bit more of a challenge between young men. There's obviously the gender issue here, which we can discuss, a social geographical issue of this is majorly, in a major way, it's very much a male-dominated tradition, at least from inside the costume, so to speak. This is being dominated by younger men, and that would be an interesting kind of thing to continue to look at. We're really only at the tip of the iceberg here in terms of Krampus geographies, and there's a lot of things anthropologically, or in my case here as a cultural geographer, to look at this and what kind of landscapes the Krampus is producing and what kind of geographies it produces. Now taking this folk culture, exporting it, so to speak, or Hollywood importing it, certainly going to manipulate it in some ways to fit the narratives kind of going on in Hollywood films these days. The narrative of this film, the Krampus film that's going to be released in a week or so, really sounds like it's going to challenge sort of the boring or the dysfunctional family at holiday time, that maybe a Krampus would bring people together. So it's sort of one of those films, the team kind of coming together. But it's this movement, I think, that's really important from folk culture to popular culture. So Krampus now will be seen in this film and probably seen by millions of people who maybe know nothing about it. And so while this episode is to inform a little bit about the Krampus tradition as it is alive today and well in this Central European region, the Alpine region, I think it's also to kind of show, well, the folk culture itself isn't static. The folk culture is evolving and it's changing and has changed in isolation in some ways from other valleys. And I think it's a really interesting thing about here Austria is a lot of people refer to their landscape, their physical landscape, by valleys. And that's, you know, rightfully so. There's some difference between valleys, dialect difference in terms of the language that people are speaking, the dialect people are speaking, but also even in the colors of that are popular in local traditional clothing that people will wear, not only in important days throughout the year, but we're seeing more and more regularly, I think, in Austria, this idea of wearing traditional clothing. And so from that valley to valley geographical imagination, I think that's quite interesting. The valley to valley, we'll even find different celebrations and different practices of the Krampus tradition. And so these are some of those landscapes that are being produced. And the last one I think I would want to point out is also the economic one. And we found we're lucky enough to have here in Hallein, a town very close, 15 kilometers, I think, from us in Salzburg, basically a start of the season fair or festival of Krampusen. And it wasn't that people arrived all dressed up. People arrived in their regular clothes, had T-shirts marking the passes or groups that they represent. But each had a stand in some ways, and a lot of it was bartering and exchange, but also selling of secondhand and new gear or equipment to be a Krampus. And so it was really interesting to see that from the inside. And so you could buy a mask. I was seeing average prices, 500 euros, skins, which are made from goat, sheep, cow, wild pig skins, a lot of times in two pieces, a shirt and then pants with suspenders, weighing something anywhere between 13, 15 kilos. We're talking about like 30 pounds here that you would carry in and out of these spaces. A lot of times in heat, especially if you're going inside houses. Boots, a whip, bells, all of these things adding up to anywhere between like 1,500 to 2,500 euros for a suit to be a Krampus. And so there's a real commitment here, financial as well as, I guess, the time commitment of this Krampus season. And I want to thank the Niederalmer Pass for showing me a lot of their wares and some of the things that they were selling. They had their own mask carver there. I was even able to speak to a younger mask carver. His name's Martin Reuter, who is 20 years old and has been doing this for 10 years now. So he started making masks when he was 10. He says he makes about 20, 25 masks a year. It takes him about that time, about 20, 25 hours to make each one. And he's, like I said, been doing this for 10 years, learned it from a teacher, a sculptor. He does other kind of sculptures as well, working with other materials. But there's a whole sort of economic geography to this too that would be worth exploring a little bit more. But I want to, I think, end on this tonight, this exploration, because I think it's really important to, as we are exploring the geographical imagination, look at how geography and different ways of thinking about this one tradition, the Krampus tradition, really opens up this whole range of topics that we can really explore. And we're just touching upon them tonight. I'd really like to continue to explore some of these themes moving forward. But for tonight, let's wish everyone a fun Krampus season as we get into the beginning of December here, and want to thank everyone for participating, including Christoph Schweiger, of course. I'd also like to thank Martin Reuter, who spoke to us about carving, the Niederalmer Pass, who described the costume and the cost of the costume to us, and Christian Moser, the organizer as part of Igonta Pass, the organizer of the festival or fair in Hallein. So without anything further, thank you all, and que les vaya bien. Ciao.